Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
This morning, we, the Lord, would like to remind us of a marvelous gift that He gives to us. And the challenging part is you and I can abandon this gift, bypass this gift in our life. We forfeit it. I want to talk to you about peace. Peace. Because it's His will that you and I have peace in our life. Not just when we get together here this morning, but our daily life. I mean, let's face it, you know, as believers, our daily life is where and I don't mean this lightly or in the wrong context, but our daily life, that's where the game's played. That's where life unfolds. The stuff we plan, the stuff that we don't plan, the stuff we know about, the things that come that we had no idea about. And the Lord, He doesn't want you to fret. He wants you to have peace. And He talks about a peace that is an inner peace. We're going to touch on that. But I'm also going to talk to you about consequential peace. That things unfold in this life because it's this side of heaven, right? Stuff happens. I'm not trying to be crude, but, you know, sometimes things hit the fan, right? And sometimes it's our own doing, sometimes it's a doing others, sometimes it's a spiritual attack, and sometimes it's just this life. And there's no expectation that everything's supposed to be easy in absence of conflict in our life. Scripture's clear. We're going to have trials of many kinds. All kinds. All kinds. Significant trials, small trials, everything in between. Spiritual trials, just life trials, circumstantial, consequential. I want to talk to you about circumstantial peace, but I want to talk to you about inner peace first. And I want you to take this with you this morning. I really do. I want you to take this with you. I want this to be embedded in you, His Word, His Scripture. I want you to be able to leave today and have a measure of peace and walk out with whatever the Holy Spirit speaks to you about not forfeiting the peace that He has desired for you. Okay? Because there are things that we can all probably shore up a little bit in our life where we don't have to abandon peace. It's a great gift. And you're going to find out that you are called. You are called. I am called to live a life of peace. And that living a quiet life is God's will for you. John chapter 14, we'll start there. And there are many verses throughout Scripture about the peace. And of course, Jesus is the Prince of Peace, right? He is the Prince of Peace. And I'll tell you, He wants you to have peace in your life. He does. He's the Prince of it. He created it. He knows how to give it. He knows how to reside and manifest it in your life. But He also knows that you have a will and a choice. I can make decisions about it at the moment. So I want you to See if the Holy Spirit would drop something into your life today. John 14, 27, Jesus says it. Peace, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. The peace I give to you is not like the world gives. So he's talking, excuse me. I'm a man, I can't do two things at once. Sorry. There's a contrast here. He gives you peace, and he says, but not like the world gives. So the world gives circumstantial peace or robs it from us. It's a peace that comes from circumstance. If things, nothing bad's going on, whoo, I'm at peace, right? That's circumstantial. It's based on circumstances, whether things are hard right now or easy right now or in between. It kind of fluctuates, the peace. Jesus says, I give you a peace that transcends circumstance. In other words, no matter how easy it is or how difficult it gets, I give you a peace that you can have, maintain, and live in your thoughts and in the condition of your soul, that the lack of peace or the intensity of circumstances will not rob your peace in here. Because we recognize he's with us. He's for us. We commune with him. We fellowship with him. We know this. And it brings a peace that passes understanding. Listen to this. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind. Where do we feel anxiety? It's in our thoughts. It's in our heart. We get on the wrong train. We start thinking through things. We got to control it. We got to change it. And I'm not saying we shouldn't think. I'm not saying we shouldn't ponder. But it is where we kind of operate and say, this is where my peace gets robbed. Amen. Or this is where I discipline and I maintain the peace that Christ has purchased and given to me and calls me to live according to. The peace that passes understanding. Real simple. There's no way in this circumstance that's going on in your life that you should have any peace right now. And Jesus says, I give you a peace in that moment. It passes all understanding. It doesn't make sense that you should have any peace right now, but you should be totally freaked out, flipped out, filled with anxiety, but you're not. He gives a peace that passes human understanding. That is something that he brings into your life and mine. He's made a way for you to have peace. I don't know what you're facing today, but in the midst of it, there is a way for him to bring peace to you. That circumstance will not rob it. It will not steal from you. The enemy will not steal from you in this circumstance. Amen. You can think about it, and you don't have to have anxiety. You can recognize the truth about the circumstance from your perspective, but the truth of peace is greater. It transcends. There's a tranquility of the soul, the mind and the heart that is extended to you and I that is greater than the mountain of the opposition or circumstance that we face. Turn to a person on each side and say, Are you hearing this? Are you hearing this? In Philippians 4:7, where it says, a peace that passes understanding, guard your heart and your mind. I want you to know there's a precursor to this. It's in the verses right before this. See, this is a great statement that the Apostle Paul makes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of what Jesus brings to us in the way of peace, regardless of what unfolds in this life. And it sounds good. That's the peace I want. That's the peace I need. But there's a precursor that leads to this in the previous verses, and you will see it mention things like this. Rejoice always. It's interesting. You know, when you say something to your child that you really want them to get and understand, you usually say it more than one time, don't you? Somewhere in what you're telling them, you say something like, are you hearing me? Right? You hearing me? And here's proof that you say something more than once to them. As the kid finally goes, yeah, I know, I heard you already. You already told me that. He says it twice. He says, rejoice always. And again, I say to you, rejoice.
Amen, amen.
You want a peace that passes understanding? Here's some precursors that lead to it. We got to read this in context and what he's writing us. This is not something that's unrelated. Rejoice. Again, I say, rejoice, always. Then he goes on to say, be reasonable. Hey, how about that? Hello? Be reasonable. Don't let your mind run away on the wrong train leaving the depot. And the only stop it's making is at the end with the fullness of anxiety. And worry. Now he says, be reasonable. You read these verses prior. You read verses 4 through 6. And you also pick up in there, it says, you don't need to worry and you don't need to be all of these things. He said, this is how you get peace, because the Lord is present. The Lord is with you. The Lord is present. When you stand and face whatever it is in the way of a circumstance, he casts a shadow over you. The bully can't have its way with you. Because Big Brother's standing right behind you.
Amen.
Bully can't cause you to worry at recess. Because Big Brother is standing behind you. Our older brother, Jesus the Christ. He's present. Then he says, you want to have peace? Don't be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. Not about your past. Not about what happened yesterday. Not what you're facing today. And all the crazy stuff that you think about that might happen tomorrow. Well, what if? What if? And we let our past hang over us, and it causes us to think that the same thing's going to happen again or something worse, and you're coming up with all kinds of things that aren't even related to what you're really facing, because our mind is on a runaway train, and we are just, you know, we are choosing anxiety. And then the crazy thing is, we come with arguments to defend the craziness of what we're coming up with that might happen. As if it's truth. And if someone dare speak just a little gentle word of, you know, I think you're starting to worry about things that probably aren't going to happen. Well, if anything can happen, it's like, okay. I got to get outside and I got to do this. And I got to clean this and I got to get this because I'm getting ready to go out of town and all of this. But you know what? A meteor could come. I got to get this done. Okay. Don't be anxious about anything. Hey, listen. I still have to master this stuff. I still got to discipline my thinking. I still got to remember that Jesus is with me and who he is, and that he is the Prince of Peace, and there is nothing that will conquer him. He is the Prince of Peace. And the Prince of Darkness has no authority over him unless I submit to the darkness that he brings in my thinking. Don't be anxious for anything, but everything by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. If we do those things, we get to know those verses 4 through 6, then verse number 7 will manifest a peace that will pass all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind. But if your heart and your mind are not doing the precursors, the supernatural tranquility will not reside in you. And it's not that Jesus couldn't do it. It's that you and I chose to sabotage it. He wants to give you an inner peace. It's who he is. So if you struggle, you get to Philippians 4. Oh, yeah, I know those verses. Yeah, but now you can try to read it and live it. And discipline your thoughts and your heart and follow what he gives us. Hey, we're the Western church. We like a format. We like a plan. We got point one, point two, subpoints A, B, and C. Well, this is one place in Scripture he gives you the format. Rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. And he walks you through the steps that manifest number 7 in our life. And don't kid yourself. It'll be tested. The enemy will test it. Your own mind will test it. Well-meaning people will say things that will test it. It'll be tested. But that's how we find out if it stands and is fruitful in our life, or if we need to continue to learn some more. Inner peace. God's called you to it. He's provided you a way to have it. Isn't he nice? Well, think about it. Isn't he nice? It's so nice. It's so kind that he has it, and he wants you to have it, and he tells you how it can happen, no matter what. I think that's pretty nice. I know that seems so understated. We're talking about Jesus because he's absolutely awesome. But this is just really nice. Let him be nice. Follow the steps. Trust his word. Walk in it. Catch yourself starting to step on the wrong runaway train. Get back in the depot and get on the right train that leads you in the thoughts of rejoicing, being thankful, no anxiety, praying, rejoicing again, giving thanksgiving. And you will have a peace that passes even your understanding. It's happened. I've seen it. Some of you have said it. Some of you have heard say it. I was going through this. I don't know, Pastor. I just had this peace. Really? Isn't he nice? Just had this peace. Had people come up to you or come up to me and say, I don't know how you do that or went through that, how you're facing that, because you just seem, I don't know, like you're at peace. What a great testimony. Because Jesus wants to be nice to them too. But they got to be introduced to the precursors And the way that they get a taste of it is when they see it in you, the living church of Jesus Christ, one who says, he's my Savior and I'm following him. I want to talk to you about circumstantial peace now. You know, Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, Jesus says something, and it's, I'm not taking this out of context, but he makes this statement, because he's talking about, you know, you and I not being able to add to our life and don't worry about tomorrow. And he says this, because today has enough trouble of its own. What he's saying is this life, hey, I get it, it can be hard. It can be difficult. Planned and unplanned things happen. And sometimes planned things don't happen. All you control freaks. Right? Yeah, Jesus said, listen, quit worrying about tomorrow and all that. You can plan. It's okay to plan and all those things. But don't worry about it. Focus on what is before you right now. Not what all the what ifs, not about the meteor. Not about, you know, whatever it is. Be in today. Today has enough challenges of its own, he says. Enough trouble of its own. And what he's saying is, there is circumstantial things that are going to unfold in our life. When I say circumstantial peace, now it's the idea that the absence of conflict, that in the physical, in the mental, in the emotional, the spiritual, I don't know if I can include the spiritual because there's always conflict and a battle there. But, you know, these things that our mind and our heart, our bodies are physical things. Just, it's, stuff happens in this life that are circumstance based. And that inner peace is supposed to reside, right? But Jesus talks about there's circumstantial peace. Things are going to unfold, but there's something I have become aware of as I have become a person who is embarking upon middle age. Well, listen, if I live to 120, I'm only middle age. Ish. Right? Listen, I've gotten all I've watched something in my own life. I've watched it in the lives of people. And I pastor and I'm with people. I've watched this. Okay? I've watched us contribute to circumstantial trouble when there's enough challenges of its own today. But we just somehow contribute to it. You want peace, you want things to go smooth, and yet at the same time, why stuff unfolds and trips those things up sometimes in our life, I've watched us just contribute and make the thing worse or bigger than it needs to be. If you disagree, you know, you can head out now, you can leave early. And come back next week and see if it's any better. But if you know that you have contributed to things, you might want to stay. Listen, 1 Thessalonians 4, the second part of verse 10 through verse 12. I want you to listen to this. This is just so good. Okay? He writes, we urge you, brothers, which means you two sisters. You might not say thank you after I read this, but we urge you, believers, brothers, sisters in Christ, to do this more and more. What is it? We're going to find out. Urge you to do this more and more, to aspire to live a quiet life. And to mind your own business. Yeah. Careful, those of you who are shouting. I know some things about you. To aspire to live a quiet life, to mind your own business, to stay occupied by working with your hands, taking care of things, so that you can keep a good reputation with those who are outside the faith and that you would never take advantage of anyone. I want to talk to you about a couple of things in there. Aspire to live a quiet life and to mind your own business. Do you know how much clutter we bring into our life that robs us of peace? This life of peace that we're called to? That we add to circumstances? I want you to listen to the lyrics of a few lyrics of a song. Right now, my wife is having, like, what? You're going to quote lyrics from a song? Because I barely remember the songs of the choruses we sing, okay? So, you know, that I would reference a song, or she'd go, oh, you're listening to music now? Here's the lyrics. Watch this. Oh, but everybody thinks that everybody knows about everybody else. Nobody knows anything about themselves because they're all worried about everybody else. Okay, I'll read it again. Oh, but everybody thinks that everybody knows about everybody else. Nobody knows anything about themselves because they're all worried about everybody else. He has called us to a life of peace. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't know something about somebody or that you don't hear about a need. You put this in context. There are things that we get concerned about or we put our nose in or feel like we have to know or have to tell about somebody else or our own life. I'll just tell you, these lyrics and the scriptures, I got to tell you this, okay? Please, this title of this message is not The Perils of Social Network. That is not the title. Enjoy your social network as much as the Holy Spirit allows you. Okay? That's the statement. But when I go through these verses and about being called to a quiet life and mind your own business, not putting our nose where it doesn't belong, not involving ourselves in something that has no concern of ours. It brings trouble. It stirs up stuff in our heart and in our mind where we're supposed to have this constant peace to overcome the troubles of the day that are going to show up and to be resilient in that peace that resides within us as life unfolds day and night and day and night and keeps going. When I read these verses and I listen to the lyrics of that song, it sounds a lot like Facebook. or other things that I just don't know about or didn't, I don't know the titles of them. You know, it's the personified life. And now listen, I'm not saying that you can't ever post something or that you can't comment on somebody else or I'm not saying you can't put a picture up of something you did. But you know, there's a little bit of this personified life and this time that, you know, I understand can probably consume a few things and some time and that, you know, rob from a peaceful heart and mind and a quiet life. I want you to know life was going on without this stuff. Without all of this information. I remember, I was very young, but, you know, I remember some of the 60s. And I'm not saying it was a great era. I'm just saying, you know what? We were not taking pictures of my dad mowing the grass, then waiting for it to develop, pop out of the camera, peel it off, let it develop, and then run across town and say, look what my dad was doing today. See his new mower? Listen, now follow me here. Just hang on. This is about peace. This is not about, you know, get off social network. That is not what I'm telling you. But the more we do that kind of stuff, a lot less peace, I've noticed. A lot of distraction, a lot of voices, a lot of jealousy, a lot of competition. I just think, man, what? Enjoy it to a point, but let the Holy Spirit speak to you and I about where we forfeit our peace on this stuff.
Amen.
Listen, I'm glad, you know. So somebody posts that they went with their family to the zoo. There's a picture. I got to tell you something. Other than the grandparents, who cares? Because I'll tell you what some of the traps we set in. We give the personified, look what our family's doing. It's so great. It's nothing like their life at home. And then you look at the picture and go, well, their one child isn't really smiling. I can't believe what she's wearing. And what is he drinking? You know what it costs to go to that zoo? They must be making money. And look at, they all got vendor-bought meals. They didn't pack a lunch. You know that they're rolling in it. I'll tell you what dads are doing. I hate that guy. He took them to the zoo. That means I got to take my family to the super zoo. And take pictures. And I know that she's going to wear that pink top because this one online that posted wore pink, and she's going to show her that she looks better in pink than she does. Now, you might think I'm exaggerating. Well, I might be to make a point. Instead of competing with others or trying to impress others... who has a better private life by making it public? It really seems ironic to me. Yeah. Called to this great, peaceful, private life, and yet we're throwing it up there for everybody to see. And I'll just tell you, I'm glad you're enjoying it, and I'm glad you post it, and glad your family looks happy, and your hair looks great, and you guys can dress like bookends, and you got all your kids dressed the same, or whatever you're doing. And I'm not saying don't do any of this. And if you're here doing this and you think I've been on Facebook and I've been scrolling, trolling, whatever, fishing, I don't know what it's called, scanning, whatever. I'm not. Okay, I'm not. I love you. I care about you. I don't care. And I get it. It's nice to share and all of that. I'm just saying, When we start to do these things outside of a Holy Spirit motive, way and limitation, because we're setting traps and we step in it ourselves and we set traps and other people step in it. And here God's saying, listen, I just want you to live a peaceful, quiet life. There's enough trouble today. You don't have to contribute to your inner turmoil. You want your private life to, you want the world to know how great you guys are as individuals or couples or families. And I'm not saying you can't ever post anything. Please, don't take that. Okay, please don't. This is not you pointing at somebody else. This is the Holy Spirit speaking to us, and you manage you, and you mind your own business on whatever social network or anything else outside of social network. Just please. Consider caring more about those who you're with in the moment that you want to experience and really have a good time, instead of trying to impress the world. Amen. Your kids will pick up on it, and they're already mimicking you. And you can say, oh, this younger generation, they're just on their computers and phones. It's amazing. It's amazing how you and I can be with somebody, and we're... Yeah. Oh, wait, I got to take a selfie. Oh, I got to take a picture of this. I got to post this. You can post what you want by the Holy Spirit. And you can do it for enjoyment. And it's not because somebody posts something, it means that they're evil. Or that, Facebook is evil. It is not evil. If we use it for evil, then guess what? We're evil. So, start being present with the people you're with, and you can take some photos and have fun. But when you start to step into the personified life, and you are allowing things to stir up, and you're real concerned with things, and you're concerned with somebody else and what they're posting and what you're posting and what they did post and how they posted and someone else's comment, and then somebody else made a comment, now you're making a comment, and then 10 more comments come in, and you're scrolling through whatever. Yeah, enjoy your peaceful life. Enjoy your quiet life. You might as well throw some of the godliness right out the window and Prince of Peace, thanks for giving this to me, but guess what? I'm not interested. I like chaos. I'm addicted to drama. How many unnecessary complications do we face? And I got to tell you something. You're smart. You're smart people, okay? But in light of you being smart, most of us, we don't really care about your opinion that we never asked for. Dude, this pastor's harsh. I've got enough courage to say it to your face and not in a text thread on some social network thing where I can hide behind a computer. My name is Randy Williamson, and I said what I said. Amen. Didn't expect that, but as someone said earlier, you're welcome. Listen, you really want chaos and keep involving yourself in other people's business? All the commotion, the unnecessary complications.
They shouldn't be gossiping.
Listen, you want people to gossip about you? Well, quit putting a bunch of stuff out there. I want people talking about me. That's what some of you say outwardly, but deep down inside, God sees you're digging it. You like it. gives you a reason to complain and argue and tell your friends and pull something better and greater. Why don't you stand up, please? This is not the perils of social network and thus saith Randy to stop being on these things. That's not at all. That's not at all yet. It's that I have seen some contributions that we can make in our life to muddy the waters instead of the waters flowing free and clear. Because today has enough hassle and trouble of its own that the resilience of the peace that God has given us to battle against the troubles of the day, why would we add to it in unnecessary ways? It says this in Psalm 34. Because some of this stuff we talked about, it all works contrary to a godly life. Amen. And you can argue and say, I've been testified online. I have reached out to people. Yes, those are the good things. Yes. Psalm 34, verse 14. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Seek peace and pursue it. Unclutter. You will conquer, I believe, a lot of attitudes or the temptation of wrong thoughts. If you would just pursue, I would pursue and seek peace and live life according to it, and anything outside of those boundaries, let it go.
Amen.
Care about people. Care about people. Don't compete with them. We've seen that. Yeah, disciples, I'm greater than you. Oh, yeah, I'm great. I did this with Jesus. I did that with Jesus. They're arguing who's greatest. You're not supposed to compete with one another. Not in those things. You want to go play golf? Yeah, that's different. You're not supposed to be competing or trying to show you're greater than somebody else. It stirs up all kinds of evils. And the thing is, when it stirs it up, it opens the door for other things inappropriate to come into our life because they seem to invite friends. Hang on to this little verse. Where words are many, sin is not far away. Pastor, we want a sermon on healing, deliverance, and laying hands on people and just go reach the world. And yeah, but I want that too. But you know what? All of that spiritual gifting will just be noise if you and I don't get the Monday through Saturday thing down. I don't know if this will be a sermon or not, but maybe it'll just be this phrase today, and I'll leave it at that. I know that you all want to walk on water. But before Jesus taught them, Peter, to walk on water, he was very busy teaching them how to walk on land. How to live our life. So when the spiritual dynamics and manifestations and the giftings and all those things happen, people will listen because they've seen your life in the land, on land, the land of what's possible. How to live life. How to have peace. How to extend peace on behalf of the Prince who gave you peace to give it to somebody else. But we muck it all up because we don't mind our own business. And we don't think this is a real command to aspire. To aspire to a quiet life.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.